Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise God. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I guess I should give a disclaimer. I know that I'm very sensitive about a particular subject, and that has to do with giving and money and all those kinds of things. And last time I may have gone a little too long on my introduction and explaining tithes and offerings and those kinds of things, because what you need to know is this is what I believe about tithes and offering and giving, and here he goes talking about it again. I may have gone too long last time, but I'm just going to be real brief and tell you, I believe that whatever a person gives to the house of God is between them and God, amen? Whether you believe in tithing or offerings or none of those, I think the whole thing boils down to whether you have the right attitude, amen? Right here in the heart. And that's what the scripture was teaching us last week, and I wanted to share that. But I may have gone a little too long, because I'm awfully sensitive that when my wife looks at me and I ask her, see, my wife, I ask her every week, how did it go? What do you think? Was I able to get the message across? And my wife is such a wonderful woman. She lies to me every Sunday. Don't tell her I said that. She tells me, oh, you're just wonderful. But last week, she said, well, you might have gone a little long on that part. So that's my disclaimer for if I've offended anyone about tithing and offering and giving, because I frankly really don't care what you do. You know, I believe if God is going to finance a program, then God is going to do that. And it's we, of course, being obedient, but that's between you and God, and we'll just leave it at that. But I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. Because I just can't get away from this abundance living. It's kind of like relationships last year, right? That should have been a basis, a foundation last year for what we're sharing with you this year, or at least for the last few weeks. I'm just one who believes in abundant living. And I believe that it's something that God blesses you with when you have the right attitude, when you think right, when you have the right heart. God blesses you. How many of you really know God really does bless people? Do you know that? And how many of you, just kind of keep your hand up if you can, know that God has blessed you, not just other people, but he's blessed you in wonderful ways? That's just a great show of hands, that we're all kind of on the same page about God being a blesser. I think part of the bad press that Christianity has been given over the years is because there are people who don't have a good attitude about being a Christian. They're kind of sorry they made that commitment. Their life has been miserable, and you can see it in their face. Have you ever run across those people? Let me ask you, have you ever been one of those people? No. Either way, what my point is, I believe being a Christian should not always be dwelling on the trials and the tests that we go through. We go through those things. We have rough roads, but when you look at the rest of the world, everybody else does too, don't they? And I think Christians come into Christianity with this false, but an illusion that once you become a Christian, everything's going to be okay and that there's never going to be an issue or a problem. And then after we get our feet back on the ground and we realize that we don't always walk in the heavenlies, but that we have to still live here until Jesus comes, we learn rather rapidly that those things that come our way have been, first of all, tempered by the Lord. I know it feels hard sometimes, but they really have been tempered by the Lord. They've passed by his approval. And so whatever he allows in your life, it may be harsh or difficult, he has an intention of bringing you through that and also teaching you something very, very profound about being a Christian as you go through those issues. And they won't be issues of, hey, we're going to challenge your theology. That's not where you have your problems. Your problems are in everyday life. My kids are sick. I can't pay my bills. What do I do? Those kinds of real life issues is where those tests are developed and allowed to happen. But they go by God's approval. So whatever happens to us, as difficult as it may be, and there are some horrendous things we have experienced as Christians, sometimes we fail to understand this, but it's really true that they have been tempered by the Lord. Can you imagine what it would have been like if you didn't have the comforting power of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit to help you through those issues? well, then look out at the rest of the world and see how they respond to them, and you'll understand. Because most of them will either go to drink or drugs or some kind of form of escape to kind of temper the pain that they're going through. We fortunately have the Holy Spirit, who is called by one name, the Comforter. And he will minister to us, and he will bring a remedy and an answer and a peace into our lives that only God can do. And we avoid all the other problems that the rest of the world has, and you know, alcoholism and all those kinds of things that they endure. But I want to read a scripture for you in 1 Timothy, first chapter, 1 Timothy. I want to read a couple of verses. I'm going to begin in the 12th verse and try to read through the 14th if I can without stopping and getting off on the rabbit trail. But verse 12, it's Paul speaking to Timothy, and he's expressing a really neat thought here. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I could preach three sermons right there on that one part of a verse. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Listen to that. Hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know, everyone that ministers, I don't care if it's an ordained minister or a lay minister or any one of you that have been used by God in any way, that is the right attitude of ministry. That God has counted you worthy, that he enabled you and he has placed you in a position where you are going to minister to people. That, what a great thing that is, the calling of God on your life. And that's what he's talking about. What a wonderful verse. And there's a semicolon there, so the next verse is connected. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Don't we do a lot of things ignorantly? And because we really don't believe in God? I got half a lifetime I could tell you about all of that. That I went through. But what he's talking about is his personal testimony. He doesn't have to go into telling you, I used to persecute the church, get Christians thrown in jail and persecute them. And he didn't have to go into all that. Timothy knew his testimony very well. But knowing that Timothy would share these words with someone else, he wanted them to understand that he was in a position that made him disconnect from God, even though he was a religious man, deeply devoted religious man, doing things that even his own religion taught him not to do. Isn't that interesting? And that's part of it. I was trying to not get on a rabbit trail, but anyway. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Isn't that just a precursor to the next verse? And listen to what he says. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I just can't get away from that abundant, that term, that word, that concept, that idea, that we as Christians should be living abundantly. We should be, of all people on the planet, exemplifying what fullness of life is all about. I don't know about you, but I do all kinds of crazy things, and I don't recommend you do some of the things I do, but you know, in my old house, I had three rhododendron plants. Does anybody know what those are? In Seattle, they're everywhere. But they have such a variety of colors. There's whites, and there's pinks, and there's reds, and there's kind of lavenderish colors. And they're just an absolutely gorgeous plant. And when their blossoms come out, it comes out in like a big ball. And it's actually individual blossoms that gather together to create a big ball. And I do stupid things when I got to plant new ones now, but I did stupid things when they were in full bloom. And you know what's really cool about it? I don't know how God did this. I know one of them got killed. I think it was because too much water got to it and it died. Another one in there, and it was a smaller plant. And then the other one, two of them were just big, huge plants, and all these blooms and blossoms are on them. And I'd do stupid things like I got my digital camera. Does everybody know what digital cameras are now? They can't hardly, even those throwaway things, they don't buy them. Those digitals are so cool. I get my digital camera and I get the zoom in as close as I can. Every year when the blossoms were out, not honeybees, but bumblebees. Big old hunking bumblebees. You ever see bumblebees? Boom, 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 boom. They're so big, they just kind of boom, 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 boom. You know what they are. And so I get and I watch him while he's just going in there getting all the nectar he wants to get out of there. And when he comes out, I get a snapshot of him. Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever stopped to smell the rhododendrons? and check out the humble bumblebee. Very cool. And in fact, I've got some pictures. I should bring them and throw them up on the, I should actually have had them here for you to see. If I'd have been a smart pastor, I would have had that all ready for you. But next time when I get some pictures, then I'll bring them to you and you can see. But what is interesting about that is I'm so busy all the time. I could fill my time, 24 hours, with things that I need to do. How many of you can raise your hand and say, yeah, man, I've been there. I mean, I am there, yeah. You're lucky I'm here today, Pastor, because I am there, and I should have been doing it, but I know. And God bless you for taking the time out of your Sunday to come to church. But have you noticed how rich and full? Now, that little bumblebee doesn't mean a thing to you, but I kind of like to think it's the same bumblebee coming back. I mean, there's dozens of them that come, but I like to think the same guy comes back because I had the rhododendrons there, and he likes taking his picture. He comes buzzing out, and he just kind of looks at me. I snap his shots, you know, and so I have this little fantasy thing going on between me and nature there, but the important thing is I think my life is enriched by the appreciation of that beautiful plant and these little bumblebees that fly around, and nobody else cares. My wife doesn't even care. Joey, come here, look at this bumblebee. You know, but she'll come and look, and it's wonderful. And that's, and I thought about those things. You know, those are the kinds of little things that really makes life abundant. It's the things that don't you know, don't cost you anything. They're just there for your observation. They're around you. Probably ignored it 100 times, but was one time it catches your attention. And I'm talking about abundance. Of living, I think it has to do with the appreciation of that which enriches you. You know, those plants enrich me. I mean, I got this little baby one. It's a dark, dark red. And then the other one is a white, and the other one is a pink. And just absolutely gorgeous plants. And it enriches me. Every time I walk by them when they're in bloom, I just stop and pose and see, hey, man, I even talk to them. I'm sorry. How many of you talk to your plants so I don't feel so stupid? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. A couple of you helped me there. But what made me think of that was when you're thinking about the grace of God and the things that God wants to do in our lives, we sometimes have a disconnect. We understand the grace because we've been forgiven. Everybody understands that pretty much, that has received Christ, understands that grace is the key to us and his blessings in our lives and all of that kind of stuff. But somewhere along our path of living for Christ, we sometimes stumble into that place in our walk where we have become so focused on the dark side of what's happening in our lives that we fail to realize that God is poised to build abundance into our lives, fullness, appreciation of what God's grace is and what it has accomplished and the things that God wants to do with our lives, where he wants us to go, what he wants to use us for, how he wants to create opportunities for him to flow through us. And all those kinds of things are a part of the walk. But if we get so self-focused with the circumstances and the issues that we're dealing with, and most of them, when they become this kind of a thing, they're things that we're dealing with. It's usually on the negative side. We never say much when we're being blessed. Right? But when we're going through something, that seems to consume us. It's our focus. It's what we become. And until we can allow the grace, the abundant grace of the Lord to flow into us, we will never overcome them, first of all. And second of all, we'll never receive the blessing from learning what God wanted to teach us through that. And thirdly, we'll never understand what the abundance of life is all about. I'm convinced that when you talk about abundance, and you can get your own concordance out and look up abundance and abundantly and all those scriptures, and you'll see that I've been hitting some of those scriptures, and those are important scriptures, because I think we have a calling that does two things. One, it addresses the issues of our time. And two, it makes us an example and a solution rather than a part of the problem. I think God leaves us here after he saves us so that we can have influence and so that we can affect people and connect with individuals and be able to share what Christ has done with us in a hopes that we're building one another. That's what church is about. That's why we're here this morning. It's to build one another up and to encourage one another in the things. Because we all know when we go out that door what's facing us. And generally it's something negative or an issue or a problem or a job or something that we've got to do and get completed. But I want you to understand that sometimes we are viewed by the world, and I hope you realize this. If you haven't, you will when you get out in the world. That Christians are unfortunately measured by what they see in our lives. So Christianity, when people look at you, is what they see. And I wonder sometimes if the Lord is not trying to do two things. Teach us how to be a better example, and also teach people who don't know Christ what it is to really know Christ. And there's a difference there. Sometimes I do not portray Christ as good as I would like to. There are times when I have completely failed in being able to exemplify Christ in a certain situation. And what I learned through that is that God has designed something about our lives that we oftentimes don't remember. Paul's trying to convey it to Timothy. I want you to know that I'm appreciative to the Lord for him calling me into the ministry, considering me worthy to be a minister for the gospel, especially since I used to persecute the church. That's basically what he's saying. Now I'm one of them, and now I'm trying to be an example for them. And so I appreciate the Lord. You know, we don't appreciate the Lord, I think, as much as we could and probably should for all the things he does in our lives. You realize most of us don't take the time, like I do around the rhododendrons, to look for the hand of God actually doing things in our lives. Many times we just go blasting through life, and by the end of the week when we get to church, we look back over the week, and many times we've overlooked what God has really been doing in our lives and not recognized that. And that's unfortunate, because part of the growth process and part of God being able to bless your life is helping you to realize that he is continuously working in our lives. And that some of the things you went by and thought was just coincidental, cool or uncool, were things that God was actually doing something in, and you just went by it like 100 miles an hour and did not appreciate the minute details God has in store and is working in your life right now. I'm telling you that when you are walking in his abundance, you are not the same person. Now, you may not always see it, because sometimes we get too self-focused. Sometimes we get problem-focused. Sometimes we get circumstance-focused instead of faith-focused. You see, we should be walking through life as Christians by faith. Every issue, every situation, every good, bad, ugly situation we go through, we should be walking through that with a faith focus. Faith focus. I believe in God. You hear what he said? I persecuted the church because I was ignorant and I didn't believe. But now I'm not ignorant and I do believe. You follow what? That's the message he's getting across. And because of that, the abundance of God's grace. You see, God's got enough grace. He's got all the grace we need. He's got buckets and barrels and tons of grace, all that we need for every personal circumstance and situation and even a self-focused issue. He has enough grace. He's abundant in the grace department. The problem is we don't always tap into that abundant grace. Therefore, we don't live abundantly because we fail to be faith-focused. I live by faith. I lay down beside germy, snotty-nosed little black kids, and I feel abundantly alive. You're going to hear that next week. What a wonderful testimony that is. You know, preachers can just get up here and just take an old whip and just crack it at you and say, you know, you're just not living up to the par. You're not living up to the standard. And that's just not the message that Paul is delivering here. Paul is delivering a message that every single Christian can live above the circumstances by faith. Oh, they're going to still have to go through them. You're still going to have to go through those problems and those issues, because those are life lessons that you need to learn. Hello? But if you live abundantly and faith-focused, you will be a victor and not a victim. Amen? Amen. I think you ought to give God a hand for that. It's just a wonderful concept that I think we read, but we never seem to think we realize it. And I want to talk about that in just a moment, but let me finish up a couple things. I think Christians should be viewed as passionate and powerful and positive and protagonistic even. Pro-faith, pro-power, pro-God. I think it should exude from every muscle and joint and cell that we have. I think the way we live should demonstrate that we live an adventure that God has created in us and is continuing to fuel by His grace and His mercy and His blessings in our lives. You attested to blessings a moment ago when you raised your hand. Did you know I think blessings are the stepping stone to abundance? You know, I'm not talking about money. That's why I made the disclaimer in the beginning. I'm not talking about possessions and what you have. I'm talking about who you are in Christ. Most Christians don't realize the benefits that they have being a Christian. A lot of them don't tap into, by faith, God can do this in my life. Oh, he don't heal anymore. He don't do this anymore. Folks, people that believe that just need to get away from me. You know what I'm saying? Don't bother me. I believe God still does what he did in the Old Testament, he did in Jesus' time, and he certainly has been doing it in our time. Yeah. Amen. Give God a hand. I think, as I tried to convey a little bit last week, and I want to connect to just a couple of these verses, especially the 14th verse, I believe attitude is everything. I do. I believe attitude is everything. I believe that is in every part of your life, every area of your life, it's your attitude. You know that when you go to a job and you have a bad attitude, it ain't long you're eating lunch by yourself. Amen? And it ain't long if it keeps up, that old bad attitude keeps up, the union can't even help you keep your job. Amen? And so I think attitude is everything. I think it is in every area of our lives. You hear people, you know, I don't want to say anything too negative, but they had this big summit on healthcare thing. Did anybody watch that? You know, I'm trying to stay less political, but I have to mention this. But there's a trick that is used, and God bless them. There are people in our society, believe it or not, the richest society in the world, the most generous society in the world. Whether you want to be generous or not, you're going to be, because we're going to take your money and give it to somebody else. And so we are a great people. I think we're getting kind of fed up with that, and things may be changing. I don't know, but I noticed that the other party, or one of the parties, brought out example after example after example of individuals who just have the hardest luck story you ever heard in your life. You know what I'm saying? One sister, oh God forbid, had to wear her dead sister's dentures. Well, that's horrific to me, too. Who wants to put them stinking old dentures in your mouth? I wouldn't. You could scrub them all day with Ajax, and I wouldn't want to put them in my mouth, you know? So they expect my reaction to be everybody's reaction. So they can try to get this idea of a trillion-dollar deficit every year from now on until this country is no longer existing. But that's the whole idea. But my point is, they bring out all of these little examples. Yes, there are hard luck stories even in America. There are people who go through hard times. I've been in hard times. Everybody goes through hard times. But this is still a country where you can find a job even if it's, oh, I know I'm going to say this, even at McDonald's. Amen? My belief is work is honorable. Amen. It doesn't matter what the job is as long as it's honest. And moral, okay, better add that too. Honest and moral, I believe all work is honorable and doesn't matter what the amount of pay you get is. You're trading your labor for X amount of dollars, that's fine. It isn't the last job or the only job you're going to get. My point is, your attitude determines your prosperity. Your attitude determines your blessings. Your attitude is everything. And that poor old sister that had to use her sister's dentures, her attitude about it. You can't tell me, you can't go to some church, I don't care what it is, or some group that can't help you get a set of dentures of your own. There is always an alternative to your condition. And the alternative is what you choose to do. Oh man, I'm going to offend you this morning just like I offended the tithers and the non-tithers last week. I'm convinced that, well, I'll give you another example. Poverty is a state of mind. It's an attitude. Because it doesn't matter how much money you make, you can survive. And really, what is guaranteed in life, by, even by Christ? Well, he told his disciples, hey, I ain't got no place to call home, lay my head. Man, the foxes have holes. The birds, they've got nests. I don't even have a place to lay my head. You want to follow me? But he does also say that your father sees every sparrow when it falls. He sees the lilies of the field and he dresses them up better than Solomon could be undressed. Our God provides for us. The problem that has happened to people in this world is that they've got the bad attitude. They think somebody owes them a living. They think, I am a victim and you need to relieve me of my victimhood. Let me tell you something about that. That is a bottomless pit. Since the New Deal, since FDR, we have placed trillions and trillions of dollars in that pit. And poverty today is at the exact level it was at FDR's time. Think about that. Think about that. It's attitude. I'm poor only if I think I'm poor. And really, it ain't so bad being poor. You know, when you're poor, you don't have to worry about going down and picking out some pair of shoes that everybody's wearing. Just get what you can and go with it. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. When I was a runt, we were poor. The church mice, we used to go and try to borrow sugar from the church mice. I'm going to tell you something. I personally ran around with some of the richest kids in our community. I ran around with Larry Echevarria's father was a prominent lawyer in town. I ran around with Ray Smith. His dad owned Harold's Club in Reno, Nevada. I ran around with guys that had dough. And I had no dough. So how does that work out? But what I did realize is I was happy. They liked me. I liked them. They didn't care if I had holes in my shoes. I was carefree and happy all the time. And all we would do was go from one ball game to the next or one activity to the next. And it didn't matter. People didn't care what you wore or if you had the best sneakers or whatever. By the way, in those days, it was Converse, black Converse. Just thought I'd let you know. But anyway, I was happy. No problems. Life was wonderful. And I didn't have to compete with anybody. I mean, I rode around. I liked riding around old Raymond's Charger. I love that. The 0426 Hemi. Melt the tires right off the back of the car in one place. Just sit there and just make a pile of rubber right there. Oh, it was wonderful. I loved riding in it. But that very rich kid one time asked me. We were laying in his bedroom and looking at the stars. Never mind. That went over your head and it should have. We're laying there and he asked me one day, I hang out with all these guys and they asked me one day, do you hang out with me just because I've got money? Now this is, seriously, now this is going to offend some of you money people, but you know what I told him? And I thought about it. I said, oh, Raymond, let me think about that. And I thought about that and I said, Raymond, there isn't anything you've got that I can't get. It just may take me longer to get it. In other words, I told him I like you, not your things. It was an attitude. It was my attitude toward it. And I think attitude is everything. You don't like people with a bad attitude, do you? No, you don't even want to hang around people with a bad attitude. And I don't blame you. I don't think Jesus even wanted to hang around with people with a bad attitude. That's why he was always putting the Pharisees down. They had a bad attitude. They had to live a certain way, and they didn't like it. They wanted to do what the Gentiles were doing, but their religion forbade them, and so they were the most miserable, stinking people on the planet. Amen? So Jesus didn't even want to. He only went to church on the Sabbath because he wanted to minister to people. He certainly didn't want to hang out with those people, and you can just see their faces. Attitude is everything. It's a mindset. It's a faith. Actually, more than a mindset, it is a faith set. I am going to believe God regardless of what I see, what I experience. I know God is true and He's faithful, and He will see me through this. And then, interestingly enough, when you finally get through it, you look back and you realize that I was right. God did deliver me. God did help me. God got me through that whole issue and that problem. And man, what I learned in the process. Man, that's just good preaching, brother. So it's more of a faith set. Attitude sets the course for your faith. You got a bad attitude, you got no faith. In fact, if you got a bad attitude, you've got no faith, you're probably a persecutor, a injurious. I love the King James. You might just be an injurious person. I heard another cool word. You might just be censorious. Look it up. It's a good word. I love it. But your attitude sets the course of your faith. Most of us don't get our prayers answered because we have a bad attitude. And we're not getting the abundance that God offers us. We can't see beyond what's visible. We can't see beyond the circumstance. We can't see beyond the storm. Therefore, we have no faith to get through the storm. Bad attitude. Our life view is messed up. I love Joel Osteen's. I may not always agree with his theology on some things, but I love the way he begins preaching. Take your Bible. I am what the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. And I absolutely believe that. I think that's a good reminder. Every sermon starts out. Casey Treat does something almost identical, fairly similar to that, to get the people focused that the book is a guarantee of God's abundant grace flowing to you in whatever form is necessary. But with a bad attitude, God don't even want to hang around with you. Amen? Give him a hand. He's good. It's awesome. Our life view needs to be a life of abundance. And it has nothing to do with possessions, has everything to do with the condition of your heart, which produces things inside you, a good attitude. I am what God says I am. The adventure is a part of my great experience. God is in charge. He's in control of all that comes into my life. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to preach you a sermon. Cool thing happening in the Four Square Church. I'm not leaving the Church of God to go to Four Square, but I just want to tell you a cool thing. Cool thing is, God has used the Four Square Church to rescue my prodigal son. Man, I'm so excited in what God is doing in my oldest son's life. I guess can hardly contain it. I don't want to say a whole lot of stuff because I don't want to jinx it. You know what I'm saying? But I want God to just continue what He's doing. And He gave me a book. It's called The Prodigal God. And I heard, what's the ex-mayor guy's name? Pastor? Edler. Edler's the, never mind, 1280, KIT guy. Anyway, I heard him this morning preaching from the book. And I'm going to share the message with you. It's a good book. Man, and my son has gone through it, and he gave me a copy of that for my birthday, and I've nearly got it read. And it's just an absolutely awesome book. And what they're doing is they're running that book through all of their home groups. All their home groups are studying through that book. It's like about 7 chapters, so I imagine a chapter a week kind of thing. But the Four Square on 40th and the West Valley Fourth Square are doing that in all of their home groups, is this book. So I'm going to recommend it. It's by a guy by the name of Tim Keller. If you want it, and we might even do a class here or something like that. Not that I want to copy everything somebody else does, but why reinvent a wheel? If it's a good thing, let's just ride it. Ride it. Riders in the storm. And to this world we're blown, like a dog without a bone. Does anybody remember that? Yeah. Does anybody who sang that? The Doors. All right. Some of you people survived the 60s, and it's awesome. But your life view, God really is in control. It looks like chaos all around us because of what the enemy is doing and our sinful nature may be doing. But it is our life view that God wants to have us the right attitude about. And we need to look at our own lives from God's perspective. That's the third thing. How does God view me? You see, we hang ourselves all up on how bad we are because, you know, you may have run over that lady in the crosswalk and jetted off and never took responsibility for that. I don't know. I hope nobody runs out of the church right quick. But anyway, I don't know what sins you've got in your life. I don't have a clue. I have a tough enough time trying to keep sin away from my heart to know exactly what's going on in everybody's heart. I'm aware of some of the issues that you're going through in your life, and I pray for those things all the time for God to do that. But so often we get ourselves in this position, well, I blew it once, and so God is not going to shine favor on me anymore. He's not going to bless me anymore. He doesn't love me anymore. And it's amazing how we run down that trail so willingly and abandon the abundant grace that God has for us. Amen. Let me tell you something. Let me get this straight. God loves you. Amen. Now, that doesn't excuse your sin. Let's get real serious here. When you sin, you need to deal with that sin. And if you've got an ongoing sin, you need to get it out of your life. Amen. If you want God's abundance and His blessing, get the sin out of your life. But then you need to realize, Jesus Christ came not into this world to condemn this world. He does not condemn us. Our own sin does that. This world has abundant life because of His abundant mercy and grace and love. Oh, He's righteous and holy, yes, and He holds you to the standard. But when you fall short, John said it best. Yes. Brethren, I would that you would not sin. But if you do, thank God there's that if thing there, because we don't have to. But if you do, we've got an advocate. Whoa, we've got an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the one that's right. And so through Him, we have righteousness imputed to us. Man, give God a shout. Praise the Lord. Now, you got to deal with your sin. Don't try to pass it off and don't deny it. Don't get rid of it. Man, what a great God is that makes it possible for you to get rid of it without taking one of your kids to an altar and plunging a knife in him. Abraham, you forgot the story, didn't you? Got to help you folks along here. You understand what I'm saying? It does not excuse sin. His grace does not excuse our error. But He has made a path through that grace to eliminate that error. So how does God view us? He views us as forgiven. Forgiven, Dave. Forgiven. I don't know who needs that this morning, but I need that. Forgiven. I'm forgiven. God sees me as totally forgiven and whole. I am whole. I am complete. I am total. Why? Because in my error, in my failure, Jesus Christ's grace makes up the difference. Praise God. Oh, God is good to us. Man, God is. One thing we need to understand, folks, when God looks at us, He looks at us through Christ. I don't know if you understand this or not, but Christ was perfect. And so when He takes Christ kind of like a spyglass and looks down at you, He sees Christ first before He sees you. Oh, that doesn't mean you don't have to repent. You do. But you can also live abundantly, knowing that God has washed away your sins. And you know what? It's not killing a fatted calf or laying your son on the altar. It's just simply pleading with Jesus to forgive you one more time. Oh, mighty God, what a King we serve. What a Lord we serve, who's willing, just, and able to forgive us of our sins. Every one of them. I'm not of the opinion that once you've had your sins forgiven, all your future sins are forgiven. I don't believe that. I believe every sin that arises in a Christian's life after he receives Christ has to be dealt with. And there are some sins we don't even know about. You know that? There are sins that we've done. Oh, you know, we walked by somebody and hurt their feelings because we frowned at them instead of smiled at them or didn't shake their hand or had our hair combed the wrong way or whatever. And so there's things that God has to remind us of periodically. You know, your attitude's bad. You need to be more open. You need to be more friendly so that people know that you do love them and that you're not just walking past. You know, things like that. So every once in a while, God will move in a spirit, in a service by a spirit, and he'll arrest your heart. He'll grab your heart and he'll say, there's just an accumulation of things here I want you to get take care of. Come on down to this altar and meet me, and let's work this out, and I'll cleanse you of all those issues you may not even be fully aware of. You know what I'm saying? Isn't God cool when he does that? I remember one time I could remember more recent times, but a long time ago, this became a very real principle in my life. I was at Christian Life Center, frustrated in ministry, frustrated in my life, frustrated in a lot of things. You know, my hunting dog wasn't hunting good and jumped right on top of a rooster and got so scared he just laid there shaking him. The rooster flies off and I don't get that kind of thing. You know, I'm frustrated in everything. Even hunting, I was frustrated. One night, I think it was even during the morning service, Brother Bishop was preaching. I don't even have a clue what he was preaching. You know, it really doesn't matter what I'm saying. It's what the Spirit is planting in your heart when I say what I say. Because I can say the same thing, and every one of you will hear it differently. And you'll hear it in the context of where you are spiritually. Did you realize that? That's why preachers aren't that important. They're only important in their own mind. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody, any of your brothers, you can share with somebody else, and God will speak through you, and it'll be the same thing. God will take that word and plant it in somebody's heart. Amen? But I remember that service. I don't remember what he's preaching. But somehow the Spirit of God came on me. I wasn't looking for it, wasn't asking for it. I thought I was doing okay, you know what I mean? You never think you're perfect. Obviously, you're not. But I think things, yeah, I'm frustrated, but yeah, I'll get through this. It's just another trial, you know? And the Spirit of God came on me. As real as if I were to tackle you right now. And people were going to the altar. There was an altar invitation. And I went down to the altar. And I thought, well, I'll just go down and get this off of my heart. I'll just pray. Because I didn't even know what it was. I was just frustrated. And so I think it was one of those things where God has got this accumulation. And God wants to wipe the slate clean. Amen? It's like mom, you know, putting the stars beside your name when you're good. And no stars when you're bad. You know, it kind of gets that whole thing all erased and everything going good, and the Spirit of God. So I went down there, and I started praying, and the Spirit began to grip my heart. And suddenly I began to weep. But it turned from just, you know, a few of those sentimental tears coming down. Anybody ever experienced that? Don't stop there. Let me encourage you. Don't stop there. You know, what a wonderful testimony. Don't stop there. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm praying, and the more I'm praying, the more I weep, the more almost convulsive I'm weeping. Guys, you know how it is? You got great altar workers. They're scared to come near you because they don't know what's going on. God's doing something. Maybe it's a demon. I don't want to mess with it. You know what I'm saying? They all start pleading the blood. Oh, God, help him. Oh, God, help him. But from a distance, you know. It's true, isn't it? And so I'm just weeping, and I'm actually sobbing before the Lord. And you know how you get in that place where you're just pouring? It's like David took a pitcher of water and poured it out before the Lord. That's the same thing. I'm just weeping until there were no more tears, but I was still weeping and sobbing before the Lord. When that was finally released from that moment, when I stood up, it was like a ton was just lifted off of my shoulders. Have you ever experienced that or anything close to that? God is such an awesome God that he holds a high standard up here. Seems like not even Jesus can reach it, yet he did. And he expects me to be like Jesus? I can't do that. Well, let me tell you something. The Christian walk I want to quote. This is my wife. I don't know where she got it, but I'm going to quote my wife. And this is what she said. The Christian life, the Christian walk, was never designed to be lived without God's help, provision, and abilities. Think about it. Let me say that one more time. I want this to sink. You can always get a tape for $49.95, but let me just share this with you on a free level, okay? The Christian life was never designed by God. It was never designed. Being a Christian, living a Christian life was never designed by God to be lived without God's help. If you don't need God, you don't need anything. But how many of you can say you don't need God? I can't. It was never designed to be lived without God's help, provision, and abilities. So where you fall short, He makes up the difference. Man, that is an awesome... My wife is a prophetess. That is an awesome word from the Lord. Because God, when He views us, He views us already as needy, even though we have Christ and have all sufficiency in Christ. We're going to heaven. Yeah, that's all taken care of. But walking this out so that we are an example to the world, a shining light to the world, a city on the hill, as Reagan may have called America, a church, a city on a hill, reflecting the love and the light of Christ. If we're going to live that, then we should live abundantly. What do you think attracts people to Christ? It's that he is something, or Christian people have something that they do not have. My very prayer the night I received Christ was, Lord, these people have something. They're telling me about something that I don't have, and I want whatever that. That's the words I said to the Lord. And instantly, the power of God hit my hands and vibrated through my body and forgave. I felt the forgiving power, the grace of God washing me clean. That is abundant living. Living the way God sees you rather than the way you see yourself. God sees you as victorious. God sees you as a power plant for Him. God sees you as a victor over all circumstances in your life. Why? Because the rest of the world needs some hope. And hope is living in you and in me. We got to live like God sees us, not as we see ourselves. There's five areas I've got to give. You'll hang with me a couple minutes, won't you? Five areas. I'll just go quickly as I can. I'll try to almost read the notes. Jesus, you know I lie, and I'm so sorry about lying. Five areas, as quickly as I can. I'll just kind of give them to you, and you can get the tape and write this all down for yourself. But there's five areas God is focused on in our lives. Obviously, the spiritual. That's pretty much a given. God's spirit works on our spirit. But what we don't realize is what He's doing. When He's working on our spirit, He's working to fill us with His spirit. He brings us alive so that His spirit has a companion, a place to dwell, a presence to present in your life. So He works to indwell us with His presence. The image of Christ is being developed in us as He works on us spiritually. Second area, soul. He's working on your mind and your emotions and your will. Your soul, the second part of who you are. Now you can't take a knife and cut your soul from your spirit. Or your soul from your body. Well, you can. You can plunge a knife in a guy's heart and his spirit will leave. But you know what I mean. So you can you can divide the spirit from the body, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, we're all one. We're one. But these are the parts that make us up. Physically, obviously, God wants to provide for your needs. He wants to keep you healthy, and if necessary, heal you if you're not healthy. He also wants to work on the fourth thing. He wants to work on your external life. That means your lifestyle, holiness, and godliness, and the image that you portray to others is Jesus Christ. So externally, He's working in that way. And the fifth area He's working is in kingdom goals in your life. He's got goals for you. He's got places for you to go and people for you to meet. He's got a date planned for you to be there. And the influence and the impact and the demonstration you have of showing Christ's love and grace to other people is what will attract those who don't know Christ to Him. We will raise him up and he will draw all men unto him. We pray that prayer, oh Lord, we only got 20 people on Sunday night service. We'll just hold the fort and he'll draw all men to him. Folks, that don't work. They're going to come, but they're going to come. They're not going to come. Don't fight it. Just keep preaching the word and do whatever. But my point is, he has goals, a mission, a ministry for you. That's what Paul was talking about. I'm so fortunate. I'm so thankful that God has given me this ministry. And this is what he does to enhance. This is what he tries to enhance in what he's working on in all those areas. He's trying to enhance something in you, your attitude. He's trying to enhance your attitude. He wants to call on positive people to represent him, not negative people. And what does he do? He tries to teach you in all of his working in your life how to appreciate him and his goodness. How to be a grateful person. Have gratitude. You know what happens to a lot of Christians? It's like one of the writers in the New Testament said, you know, a guy like that is a guy that goes to a mirror, takes a good look at himself. But when he walks away from the mirror, he forgets what he looks like. What is that talking about? It's a guy that comes on, he looks like he's one thing, but he gets away from that spotlight, he's something entirely different. That's what the world sees in Christians. Yeah, you're one thing on church, on Sunday, Saturday, whatever, but during the week, you are the lowest life person I've ever met. I'm sorry. I'm just reporting the news. Gratitude. People, you know, people that are appreciative and are grateful, when they review, this is the third thing, they review their lives. You know, I think we need to continually review our lives. Where am I? God, speak to me. Show me where I'm at. Am I being appreciative? Am I grateful? Am I living as you see me rather than as I see me? Am I a good example? Am I a rejoicer? You know, one of the cool things that attract, I'm sorry, but I like upbeat music. You know, I like the slow ones when we get to the slow ones, kind of get us into the spirit. But I like them old fast, hard-hitting, pounding. I guess it's from the 60s. It just never left. But anyway, I like upbeat music. I like exciting times. I like to do cool things and fun things. I try to live abundantly. And so I rejoice in the benefits that God has given me. I'm closed with these two things. I'm going to read them for you. Look for the abundance, not the lack. Second of all, look for and acknowledge God's hand when you finally see that it's been God working in your life. I can't say it any better. Just look for God and you'll see what abundant life is really all about and what his abundant grace has poured into your life. I'm going to tell you something. If you knew me before I was a Christian, and I'm closing with this on. If you knew me before I was a Christian, kind of like Paul here, I don't even want to hang around that guy. Bitter, angry, negative, hateful. When I look back at what I was inside, I am so deeply thankful to God. Not always because he called me to the ministry, but I'm thankful to God that he took the time to mess with me. There wasn't a whole lot there to really deal with. I didn't offer a whole lot. But for some reason, he looked beyond. Oh, there's a song. Let me see. He looked beyond my faults, and he saw my need. That's the kind of Savior that gives abundant life. Do you think God wants you walking around all negative and sourpuss? No. He wants you to be a positive, uplifted, adventurous, victorious, excited, passionate person. That's what he wants. And he's able to bring that to pass in your life. Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited today. I know we're running just a little bit over time, but you know how I cheat. We were praying here just a moment ago, and Ryan ministered wonderfully to us. And I was thinking while I was standing there, you know, in fact, we prayed this way. In fact, I feel like the Lord spoke a word to me that I shared with the Everetts, John and his father. And And it just came upon me, and you could feel the Spirit in this, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. And I'm going to close the service by us doing that. I was going to do a very elaborate thing and have all the people that believed come and pray for those of you that are in need kind of thing, but I think you can do it right where you're at. I believe that when the Lord talked to Peter and he said, whatsoever you loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. I think the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I think not just to the Everetts, because they're going to have a particular situation we were praying about, but I think it's a good word for the church. Be careful what you say, but I want you to hear something. I believe that you can speak in the name of Jesus Christ, and God will honor those words. Now, not speak negative things. God doesn't honor that. But there's a situation they're going through that we were praying about specifically. I don't need to share that with you. But the Spirit of the Lord came on me just as real as I've ever felt him, and just shared this word. Look, whatever you speak into their lives, God will honor that. Some of you this morning are standing here with a need, just like the Everetts were. I think you should speak to that situation. And by faith, trust God to do what you have spoken into their lives. Now be careful what you speak. I encourage them to speak peace into that situation. Speak the presence of God into that situation. Let the Lord lead them in what they should speak. But whatever they speak, God would honor that. Now I'm not a magician and I don't believe in that kind of flim-flam. But I am a firm believer of what the Bible says. And I believe you can speak into people's lives. If that weren't true, then why is it that some children believe what their parents say when their parents tell them they're no good and they grow up to be no good? There's power when you speak into people's lives. And as Christians, we have a greater opportunity and responsibility to speak into one another's lives positive power things. Do you believe that? And if you don't believe it, that's fine. I don't care if you believe it or not. But those of you that do believe it, I want you to practice it right now. Some of you know situations, circumstances of your loved ones or friends, or maybe somebody standing right next to you. And I want us to have a prayer. You don't have to literally reach out and touch this person because maybe they don't know you're praying for them in that area. But I want you to choose whatever area it is. Maybe it's some individual in your family. Maybe it's a friend you know that's going through a hard time that really you need to have Jesus' intervention. I want you right now to join with me. I want you to pray something specific into their lives. And then I want you to open up your eyes and see if God does not bring that to pass as I believe he's going to do for the Everetts. Speak to the situation. Speak to the circumstance as if it was a person you could speak to, and speak what you want into that situation. If you just want it to be over in peace and what, speak peace into it. If it's a person's life, you want them to come to Christ, speak, Lord, open up the Spirit. Just speak the Holy Ghost and release the Holy Ghost upon that person. Are you brave enough to try that this morning? Hey, what do you got to lose? Let's try it. See if the Lord's word is not true. Amen? Join with me as I'm going to pray for this whole congregation. You pray for that specific need that you're talking about, that we're talking about. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace into situations that are stormy, into marriages that are struggling and having issues in their marriages. And Father, individuals that are struggling with individual sins that easily beset them, I speak peace and surrender to you and a release of those things into their lives. Lord, I release the Holy Spirit into their life. I release power into their lives to overcome and to be a victorious person and live life abundantly. Lord, I speak grace into people's lives that really need you to forgive them and to show them greatness and power. Father, I just speak a blessing into their lives. Replace that presence, oh Lord, that emptiness, that vacancy, Lord. Replace it with your presence and your power. I speak the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives this morning. And Father, now we receive it by faith. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name that you are going to do what we have proclaimed in your name. And we want to thank you for it and magnify you and glorify you for what you're doing right now in Jesus' name. Now, if a particular issue was something you're dealing with and maybe somebody didn't pray for you about it, maybe you can find somebody in the church that you've got confidence in that can pray that kind of prayer in your life. Speak that into your life. Seek out, if you're not satisfied, seek out someone who has that kind of gift that can pray that into your life, because I'm convinced we'll come back rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves next week. Amen? Let's give God a hand as we close this morning. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.